First Christian, welcome to Music Sunday. And when the musician played, the hand of the Lord came upon him. 2 Kings 3:15. Welcome, members and visitors. We're glad that you're here today. Today, again, is Music Sunday, and we have some good stuff for you. Cell phones off, all digital stuff's off, please. Would you please sign the friendship sheet and pass it along the aisle and then pass it back and say hello to someone. Announcements. Cynthia messengered me this morning, what was my morning, her afternoon probably, to say that she's praying for all the musicians this morning, and she said to say hello to the congregation. She's staying at a historic hotel in Florence, and she was planning to attend the Duomo, I think that's how you pronounce it, cathedral in Italy. And she's probably already done that because they're 8 hours ahead of us. So next Sunday is Memorial Day Sunday, and our pulpit guest will be Reverend Bob McNamara, retired minister from Our Savior's Lutheran. The church office will be closed the following day on May 29th in observance of Memorial Day. And then starting that Friday, June 2nd, the church office will be observing summer hours, so they'll be Monday through Thursday from 10:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. and closed on Fridays, and that's through September 1st. Please read the rest of the announcements in your bulletin. Are there any other announcements that anybody needs to make? Okay. What? Oh, Deb. That's awesome.
I'm sorry?
Yeah.
Please join me in the call to worship.
Please stand.
In your bulletin. Oh Lord, please bless this music that it might glorify your name. Let this music be a witness to your majesty and love, and remind us that you are always watching and listening from your throne above.
May your presence and beauty be found in every note, and may the words that are sung reach the hearts of your people, so they draw closer to you.
May your spirit guide us through every measure, so that we might be the instruments of your peace, and proclaim your glory with glad voices.
Please pray with me. God, we thank you for this beautiful morning. Although, be it cloudy, we still thank you for it. For this day of worship and for this day of music. Bless our voices and instruments so that they will be pleasing to your ear. Just as we praise you through our songs, we praise you by praying the words your Son Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please be seated. Oh, not yet.
Now you can be seen.
Our scripture reading today is Psalm 98. It's in the Pew Bible, Old Testament, page 551. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gotten him victory. The Lord has made known his victory. He has revealed his vindication in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the victory of our God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who live in it. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills sing together for joy at the presence of the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity.
John Sebastian Bach wrote, "Music is an agreeable harmony for the honor of God and the permissible delights of the soul. Guitars and bells, cello, flute, ukulele, organ, piano, the human voice, and maybe an instrument you've never seen played in church before, all gathered here today to bring a joyful noise to our God, to your ears and hearts." My brother Kent, who has had a very busy week and very tired, auditioning for the new gong show in California, was a good brother and honored me anyway by coming here today and will be joining us on a song or two. When we were kids, our mom wanted us to either play an instrument or to take a sport. Because of my feet, I couldn't do gym, much less participate in a sport, so I had to take up an instrument. Back then, I was a little adverse to having practice and having to listen to our brother Mickey practice all the time and compete with him for chair position in orchestra. I was in choir since seventh grade, and I thought that should be enough, but my mom thought better. I'm grateful now that we had to learn an instrument, had to learn to be disciplined enough to practice, and although I never did beat Mickey for first chair in high school orchestra, because he practiced a lot more than I did, I did make it to Allstate all 3 years of high school and made fourth chair in the UW Symphony my first year in college. I'm grateful for the variety of music that we had when we were growing up. Mom and Dad both loved the record albums you could buy from Reader's Digest. A bunch of the albums had different artists and songs from classical to folk and, dare I say, rock and roll, the Beatles. I'm not sure where they ended up, those albums, but I still wish we had them. Growing up Methodist, I learned the good old hymns at an early age and continue to enjoy them today. I also really enjoyed some of the new praise songs, and we're going to do one of those today. The hymns that have been picked for today are about praising God through music. One of the very first mentions of music in the Bible is found in Exodus 15:1. "Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spoke, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider hath he thrown into the sea." We, as God's people, are invited to sing. In truth, we are commanded to sing. When we sing, we are doing what God asks of us. 1 Chronicles 16:9. "Sing to him, sing praises to him, tell of all his wondrous works." And Colossians 3:16. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God." It seems that God loves music. The Bible mentions music and singing hundreds of times. After all, the book of Psalms is essentially a book of songs. Psalm, defined by the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, means a song or poem used in worship, and especially one from the Bible. I believe that music comes from God, and when we participate in it, whether by writing, performing, or even just listening, we are giving a gift back to God. The performance of music is the physical expression of music when a song is played or sung. Some denominations do not actually believe in using musical instruments, despite the dozens of Old Testament references that they were commanded to use. But in the New Testament, Ephesians 5:19, we read that we are to speak to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. The Greek word used for making melody is psallo, which literally means to pluck or to cause to vibrate by touching or to strike the chord. which is clearly referring to a musical instrument. Many times in the Bible, it refers to the use of instruments to give thanks and praise to the Lord. Psalm 68:25. In front are the singers, after them the musicians, with them are the young women playing the timbrels. Psalm 147:7. Sing out your thanks to the Lord, sing praises to your God with a harp. And Ezra 3:10. When the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests in their vestments and with their trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals, took their places to praise the Lord, as prescribed by the King David, King of Israel. When working on the content for this Sunday, I came across a quote that I liked from Martin Luther, but I couldn't think of a good segue to say it, so I'm just going to recite it now because I like it. Martin Luther, in a foreword to George Rau's collection Symphonia in Kunde in 1538. A person who does not regard music as a marvelous creation of God must be a clodhopper indeed and does not deserve to be called a human being. He should be permitted to hear nothing but the braying of asses and the grunting of hogs. Sorry, but I liked it. Guitars, and ukuleles. For this Sunday, I wanted a variety of music and instruments, and I had to ask Jim and Diane to do a guitar duet, and Jim suggested adding Keith on bass guitar. So Diane wrote a tablature, and we added an acoustical part, bass part for Keith. Their three instruments playing together sound pretty cool. The guitar's history can be traced back to over 4,000 years. Many theories have been talked about the instrument's ancestry. It has often been claimed that the guitar is a development of the lute or even the ancient Greek kithara. The ukulele, which Diane told me is the correct pronunciation, not ukulele, originated in the 19th century as a Hawaiian adaptation of the Portuguese machete, a small guitar-like instrument, which was introduced to Hawaii by Portuguese immigrants, mainly from Madeira and the Azores. This is a piece that Jim Oliver wrote called Jesus Will Save, and Jim is going to tell us a little bit about his song. You guys want to come up?
Good morning. What inspired me to write the song is for years I suffered with anxiety attacks. I had back surgeries, so I ended up getting addicted to drugs. I always believed in Christ, but it was faith without works. I wasn't doing enough. I realized I was given the gift of music from God, so I prayed about it, and my calling was to play for the less fortunate. Even though I played at clubs, restaurants, pubs, etc., I started playing for nursing homes, care centers, including Alzheimer's patients, since 1997. The inspiration I got was from, from Jesus, and it was also from, you know, putting smiles on people's faces of the elderly, disabled, and dementia-related patients. It encouraged me to write this song, and so I feel blessed to be able to do this song for you guys. I used to count on material things, but I found the truth and he's living in me. Jesus will set you free. 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 I was a lost soul, I lost everything. I let temptation get the best of me. Some poor soul, God will reward you at heaven's door. Jesus will set you free. Jesus will set you free. I used to count on material things, but I found Jesus, he's living in me.
Nice song, huh? Has a spunky little tune to it. Lift Every Voice and Sing was written by James Weldon Johnson, who was best remembered for his leadership of the National Association for Advancement of Colored People, NAACP, where he started working in 1917. In 1920, he was the first African-American to be chosen as executive secretary of the organization, which was really the operating officer. Johnson established his reputation as a writer and was known during the Harlem Resistance for his poems, novels, and anthologies of the Black culture. He was the first African-American professor to be hired at New York University. This hymn was written as a poem. It was first performed by 500 school children in the celebration of President Lincoln's birthday on February 12, 1900 in Jacksonville, Florida. The poem was set to music by Johnson's brother, John Rosamond Johnson, and was soon adopted by NAACP as its official song. Today, Lift Every Voice and Sing is one of the most cherished songs of the African-American civil rights movement and is often referred to as the Black National Anthem. It's one of my favorites and speaks a good message. Sing a song full of the faith that the dark past has taught us. Sing a song full of hope that the present has brought us. Let's please stand and turn to page 631, and we'll sing all verses of Lift Every Voice and Sing.
This morning's prayer concerns can be found on the back of your bulletin. We continue to pray for those members of our church and their families and friends that are in treatment for cancer, those listed with health and other concerns, our senior members. Our missionary this week that we pray for is Eric Free from Mozambique. We pray from those recovering from natural disasters and those traumatized by violence. I've been asked to lift up a prayer for James Feggy, just for emotional well-being today. Peg Jackson has been in the hospital this past week, and so we lift up prayers for her. Our card shower today is a joy. Catherine Kingsolver is celebrating her 96th birthday, and so her family is here to is in town to celebrate with her in a small ceremony and celebration there with her. But we ask that you send well wishes to Catherine on the cards provided in the pews. You also get nervous when you come up for prayers as people just hand you things and tell you tidbits of information. So I hope I get this right, but it was told to me as well, another celebration happening this week sometime. But Randy Sue.
That's today.
Today. So this is breaking news. Randy Sue and Don Davis are celebrating their 40th wedding anniversary today. So. Are there any other? Oh, also, the flowers up front are from the High Trek funeral this past week. And so we lift up the family in prayers over that. Yeah, Randy Sue.
I just want to mention recognizing Kendall Chipperfield for the wonderful article on her.
Amen. Amen. For those of you that didn't see it and that didn't hear Randy Sue, there is an awesome article about Kendall Chipperfield in the Star Tribune. And so clip that. She's right back there. You can get her autograph and everything like that. It was a great article for both of you. So. Yes, Wanda.
My aunt Ethel is probably not going to be with us much later.
Yeah, prayers of comfort to Wanda and her family as they struggle through some loss. Surgery for Nick after a four-wheeler accident. Dennis.
Dorothy Jones.
Yes, thank you.
A member of this church passed away on Tuesday, and that funeral services will be later on. I want to just remember her. She was out at Shepherd of the Valley. And also a joy in the fact is that Carol Sage is not here this morning at the service because she felt it was important enough to go out. Bible study group out of the nursing home that Dorothy was at to communicate that Dorothy had passed on. A lot of times that information isn't given. People don't know what has occurred. So Carol honors up to go out to the nursing home today to be for the Bible study. So prayers of sadness and comfort for the Jones family. Prayers of joy in the fact that we have somebody like Carol Sage helping us out.
Amen. Prayers for Dorothy Jones, his family, as she passed away this week. Prayers of gratitude for all the things that Carol Sage has done for that family this past week and does for this church. Those of you that knew Dorothy, she's a great example of why we pray for our senior members. She cared about you guys often, and any elder that called on her, you were required to take her a bulletin, and she'd read that over real quick, and then you'd try to tell her a little bit about church, and she'd want to go straight to the gossip and know what you guys were up to. So believe me, I was watching you carefully when she was on my calling list so I could keep that show alive. So we're going to miss her. Any others? Oh, yeah, sorry. You bet. Prayers for Preston as he tries out for a hockey team. Well, let's lift up the rest of the prayers on our hearts and those that have been mentioned today in a moment of silent prayer. Lord, in our silence, our hearts cry out to you. Our hearts cry out prayers of joy. Joy for the blessings in our life. Joy for our family and friends that are with us. And joy for the lives of those that have passed away. Our hearts cry out for comfort. Comfort those among us who have suffered loss recently. Lord, wrap us in your love. Lord, we cry out for healing for those that are sick and those that are struggling long-term illness. We pray for healing. Our hearts cry out for encouragement. Those that feel despair and sadness, those that feel that they're living in darkness. Let your light shine into their lives and be that beacon of encouragement. Lord, we ask that you be with all of us this week. Watch over us and help us to be great examples of your love. Amen.
The organ can be dated back as far as 285 BC. I had a whole bunch of pictures that would have been really great for you guys to see, but for some reason, Rick and I tried, but we couldn't get them to import into our new projection system, so you just kind of have to imagine it. The hydraulicus, or water organ, was created by Greek engineer Ctesibius of Alexandria. A hydraulicus was an early type of pipe organ that was powered by water. I never knew this before. Like the pipe organ, the sound is made by blowing through the pipes, but power to make the air blow did not come from bellows or from electricity, as in modern organs, but from water. In the 2nd century AD, the bellows or pump organ was invented, replacing the pumps of the hydraulicus. A pump organ is a type of free reed organ that generates sound as air flows past a vibrating piece of thin metal in a frame. The piece of metal is called a reed, and we have one in the inner room. During the 5th century AD, knowledge of the organ was lost, and with the fall of the Roman Empire, but in the 8th century, found its return to the West. The organ began making its way back into churches around 900 CE. Exactly how and why remains a mystery, but it appears that the organ was first used for ceremonial purposes. By the 1400s, the use of the organ was well established in monastic churches and cathedrals throughout Europe. The introduction of the church organs is traditionally attributed to Pope Vitalian of the 7th century. Our choir piece, The Almighty Lord, was written by Dr. Eugene Butler. Dr. Butler has established a solid and respected position in the music world as composer, conductor, educator, and church musician. To date, he has over 700 published compositions with 47 different publishing houses, as well as numerous unpublished manuscripts. You will probably recognize a familiar tune in this piece.
Music hath charms to soothe the savage beast. That's one of the most famously misquoted lines of all times. But I suspect we say it wrong because we just like it better that way. Music speaks to us in ways that words just don't. It reaches into the depths of our souls, and it touches the places that hurts. It bubbles up with a joy. It cries, it praises, it loves, it soothes. Throughout the Bible, and especially in the Psalms, we are instructed to sing and make a joyful noise to the Lord. We can praise God with music in ways that we can't express with words alone. This pleases God, and it feeds our souls. But we come to the table now that nourishes more than just our souls. It also nourishes our faith. It is here that we are reminded that God loves us, and we are reminded of the sacrifice of Calvary. Here our hope is rekindled. Here at the table, God gives love and forgiveness, and we say, thank you. We remember. Please join me in singing our communion song, All Praise to God for the Song God Gives, found on page 8. This song was written by Carlton C. Buck and put to music by Dale Wood. Mr. Buck has written 23 hymns. We'll sing verses 1 and 4.
On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he had supper with his disciples. And during the meal, he reached over and he grabbed a loaf of bread. And after he had blessed it and gave thanks, he broke it. And he said, "This is my body. Take, eat, for it is broken for you." After they had ate, he also took the cup, and he gave thanks again for it and said, "Drink. This is the blood of the new covenant that has been spilt for you and for the remission of our sins. As you eat this bread and drink from this cup, do in remembrance of me. For as often as you drink from the cup and eat the bread, it will be a remembrance until the Lord comes again. These are the gifts of God for the people of God." Let us pray.
O loving and forgiving God, we bring into your presence our hopes, dreams, problems, anxieties, joys, and sorrows, because you are our God. We give thanks for the bread and cup given to each one of us during this memorial act of communion in the name of Jesus. Fill us with the power of your Holy Spirit as we serve during this coming week. Amen.
Thank you. Stewardship is closely connected with giving. It may not always be money that is given. When Peter and John were in the temple after the day of Pentecost, they were approached by a beggar. But Peter said, "I have no silver or gold, but what I have, I give to you." Peter then used the gift of healing that God had given him, and the beggar was healed. As you are asked to give, be creative. Ask yourself, what gifts has God given me that I might give? Were you blessed with the gift of music, either song or instrument, or a special skill? Were you bestowed with a unique knowledge or some awesome ability? Stewardship asks for us to take careful inventory of the assets of our lives, of the time that we have and are entrusted with, and then say, what I have, I give to God and to the people of God. The diaconate will now receive our offering.
Shall we pray? Lord God Almighty, it is our pleasure to welcome the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit into our presence this morning. Father, we are aware all of our possessions are a gift from you. It is with great joy and gratitude that we return a portion of our gifts to you, Father, dedicated to your mission on planet Earth. Amen.
soul, regardless of sins committed, and that the soul can be delivered from despair through the mercy of God. It's amazing to me also that no matter what instruments are put together, music can be made. We are lucky to have young musicians in our church that are willing to share their time and talents with us and carry on the tradition of music in our congregation. So can I have one more hand for Sydney and Tim? As far back as the Middle Ages, glasses were used for musical purposes. In China and Persia, crystal bowls and bells were tuned and struck with soft instruments, or drumsticks. Irishman Richard Patrick was the first to play classical music on the glasses. His various sized musical glasses were tuned with water, and he played them by rubbing their rims with wet fingers. I'm sure you've all seen that before. The popular modern history of musical glass begins with Benjamin Franklin's invention of the glass harmonica in 1761. Franklin's instrument was devised after attending a recital of the musical glasses, and according to his account, being charmed by the sweetness of its tones. The instrument consisted of a set of two glass bowls arranged horizontally, with each bowl nestled inside the larger one next to it on a revolving spindle. All that one needed to do was touch the revolving rims lightly with the fingers so that several could be sounded simultaneously to produce chords. Kent, my brother, has a YouTube video called Chopsticks and Stemware. He plays a lot of glasses perfectly tuned with water, but plays them with chopsticks instead of rubbing the rims with fingers. We have a smaller version of that for you today with some percussion added for good measure. We'll play, or rather Kent will play, the one verse with the glasses, and then we'd ask you as a congregation to join us on two more verses, Someone's Praying Lord and Someone's Singing Lord. Now, we have these glasses perfectly tuned, but for some reason they're not pinging as well as they should, so just bear with and listen closely and you can hear the melody.
If you do try this at home, use distilled water. If you get bubbles on the glasses, they won't ring like. So hope they distill long enough so we get good ring.
So there's something you can try. Because it means a lot. Rick, do you want me to use a microphone? I did?
The battery did? Here, Amber. Oh, thanks.
All right, so this is from Jenny Lee Riddle on the Revelation song. I asked the Holy Spirit to help me write a song that painted him, a song that the angels and creation were already singing, so that we could join in one voice as one bride to one king. My heart recalled Ezekiel 1:26-28 and Revelation 4. And then, as they stood with folded wings, there was a voice from above the dome and over their heads. Above the dome, there was something that looked like a throne, sky blue like a sapphire, with a human-like figure towering above the throne. From what I could see, from the waist up, he looked like burnished bronze, and from the waist down, like a blazing fire. Brightness everywhere. The way a rainbow springs out of the sky on a rainy day, that's what it was like. It turned out to be the glory of God. A throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne, in appearance like an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the throne I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had the crowns of gold on their head. And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. Before the throne there was a sea of glass, like crystal. And in the midst of the throne and around the throne there were four living creatures. And they do not rest day or night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who is and is to come. It had the sound of heaven in it. The song wouldn't leave me, and I sang it for weeks. I can still hear the Lord whispering to me that he would carry the song across the world. I remember thinking how cool it was to have a couple of my missionary friends carry it to the natives in the bush and then be sung around campfires. I had no idea. It's pretty popular in younger crowds. There are some songs that move me to want to lift my hands and sing, really worship God in church. And I'll admit that sometimes I'm too inhibited by what other people might think if I do that. But we shouldn't be inhibited by praising God the way we feel moved to do so. There are several places in the Bible that mentions raising your hands to praise God. 1 Kings 8:54. Now as Solomon finished offering all this prayer and plea to the Lord, he arose from before the altar of the Lord, where he had knelt with hands outstretched towards heaven. And Ezra blessed the Lord and the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, lifting up their hands. Psalm 134:2. Lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. If you feel moved, raise your hands as we sing Revelation song. The timing's a little weird, so if you want to just listen to the choir sing it, that's fine. But if you know the words, sing it loud.
Yeah.
Okay, well, this is supposed to be the children's sermonette, and we have one young gentleman back there that I asked to come forward, and we have a couple of youth I would ask to come forward. This is really a song for kids, but you know how many. But this is the deal. It worked out really well, and it was kind of a gift from God, because I wanted a song that we do with kids, because I always tried to do that on a music Sunday, have the kids join us on a song. And I was thinking, well, what song would be really easy for the kids to learn, and what would be good? So I thought, oh, Battle of Jericho, because the kids, you know, we've done that before, the kids. And it had, as it turned out, when I asked Jennifer about it, she said, well, that'll be great, because the kids are learning about Joshua and the Battle of Jericho in Children's Church. So that's great. And then when I was talking to Diane about it, she's like, well, why don't we do a children's sermon on it, and we can have all kinds of instruments and stuff like that. And I'm like, well, that's a great idea. So that's how this came about. And I'm going to ask, so first, come on, you guys come up here with us. Come up here. Who? First row. Come up here.
Sydney,
come on. They're going to be our children, okay?
Hey.
So.
Awesome. Yeah, totally. Go
grab an instrument.
All right, so you were talking about the Battle of Jericho in Sunday school, is that right?
Well, I haven't really gone there yet.
You haven't gone there yet? But that's a coming sermon, right?
Yeah, I might go there.
Okay, good. Well, just a little story. You all know this pretty well. The Battle of Jericho, of course, God had the army, Joshua's army, march around the walls of Jericho 6 times, and on the 7th time, and they did it for 7 days. On the 7th day, they marched around 6 times, and on the 7th time, they blew their trumpets, and God instructed them to shout. And with a mighty shout, of course, what happened?
They won.
Yes, they won. And
the walls came down.
The walls came down. There you go. All right, so we are joined with some instruments here, and I think we're ready to go. What are we going to do? Oh, we're going to do it here. Watch us go. Yeah, you ready? We're going to sing this, right?
No, not right now.
Oh, yeah, here we go. The Battle of Jericho. All right, so here we go. We're going to sing one time through that, just, and then we're going to shake them and say, we're not. I know. We're going to have a fight right here. Sorry. Okay. All right, guys. All right. Ready? We're going to count to 3, and on 4, we're going to shout.
Okay.
Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Woo! All right. The walls came down.
Okay, choir.
Thanks. And just a quick note from the Bible, all through, as Amber was talking about, music is such an important part. In fact, it's so powerful that Jehoshaphat was a king, and he was terrified because all the tribes around his nation were going to come and fight him. And he was always faithful to God, and he prayed. He said, what am I going to do? I can't fight all of these people. We don't have enough warriors. God said, you're not going to have to fight. Bring out your army, and who you're going to put in front of that army is the choir. The choir came in front and sang, and their enemies fled. So with that, our choir is going to sing, and our enemies will flee. Here we go. Thank you.
entire piece and then put the music or put the bells by Aftal, I think is his name. Yeah, Aftal. Incorporates a lot of, these guys were really, really super hard on this song and has a lot of rhythm and different counting and stuff in it. So I hope you enjoy Rockin' Jerusalem. And the words, the other words on the screen? Rockin' in the land and singing them songs.
Thank you. Whether you can carry a tune in a bucket or your clapping's always on the wrong beat, God invites you to let him into your heart to write his own song. One of my favorite hymns says, Jesus will make the verses of your life rhyme. If you're not allowing him to write the song of your life, ask him to do that. Perhaps you've already done that, but maybe the responsibilities and cares and tribulations of the world have made that song hard to hear. We hope this music this morning opens your heart to listen a little closer for what God wants you to sing. Join us as we sing our praise to the Lord Sunday after Sunday at First Christian Church.
Please turn to page 550 and stand and sing and verses, what did I say?
1, 3, 5, whatever. So if you please join me in the dedication that's in your bulletin and on the screen. Praise him with strings and pipe.
Praise him with clanging cymbals. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals.
Let everything that breathes praise the Lord.
Praise, Praise the Lord.
Thank you for being here today.
Sings my soul.